that's right. I got George McKinney. So what's the deal with the eclipse? How is that going to affect emergency preparedness management?
Well, it's not really a big event in the sense of emergency, but it is a big event. We're going to have a good number of people coming into the county. Right now, there are no motel rooms left to be had, no camping sites or anything here. And I know there's different places of people putting out, renting out their homes, actually, to people coming in.
This is like Augusta here, huh?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like whenever we do the Masters, because I know some of them, they do that, too, during the Masters, too. So, yeah, we're going to have a good number of people. I know different venues are going to have large numbers, especially, I think right now there's over 1,000 that have signed up for the event at the Newtown Market, Uptown Market. Mm-hmm. They've got over 1,000, which is lots of individuals down in that area,
right,
at 1 o'clock in the afternoon to 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So that's going to be a interesting side of the house. And then
Lander's got
Lander's stuff.
The schools are staying late, 20 minutes late, so mm-hmm. they can get the students out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've got some of them are actually, Ware Shoals is actually bussing theirs over and keeping them to 4 and having a big event with them at the ball field up there in Ware Shoals.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
They're doing that. Then we got all the libraries doing stuff. We got the Star Fort has an event going on.
Yep.
Well, we have other events. The State Park also, they're sold out. You're going to have a big event out there, too. So we've got a lot of different things going on. And then there's the after eclipse party at Inn on the Square.
Yep.
So there's lots of things
going on.
They're
having a before eclipse party on Sunday night and an after eclipse. Yep.
That's it. So there's going to be a good bit.
And I asked them when I was down there the other day if they come up with a special drink.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they have. There's a wine, there's a beer, and there's a mixed drink.
Well, I was down there Sunday, I guess. They hadn't
I don't
come
know
up.
That they have come up with, but nationwide. Have already been developed.
Yeah.
And, you know, even Krispy Kreme is now going to put chocolate in their glaze, on their normal glazed donuts to have.
Wow. Oh, that's right. Good afternoon, Greenwood. Hey, live from my studios right here at 637 East Durst Avenue. Just excited to be here this afternoon with George McKinney with Emergency Management. And it's never a dull moment, is it, George?
Well, it's always something.
Yeah. And yesterday it was that escaped convict from the jail down there, got out, and he didn't get captured till lunchtime, I guess, today.
Yeah, just around 11:30, I think it was today, and actually over in Lawrence County. So
that's right.
That's it. So it was an interesting time.
You know, one of the things that is very interesting is we knew right away that this had happened, and that's because we're signed up for Code Red.
Correct. We put out a Code Red message, and actually we ended up doing about 20,000 phone calls yesterday. Numerous
one
texts.
Ringy-dingy at a time?
No. No, it took about 15 minutes to get all of those out across the area. We did a five-mile radius around the jail there to let everybody know. And it took about 15 minutes by that. But with the text and the emails and everything else that went out, too, there was it was out there in a matter of seconds, actually, with the text and the emails. And so we had, I think it was about 1,800 texts and somewhere in 800-900 emails that went out. And then if you have the app also with Code Red, it was instantaneous out there for that, because it went out as soon as we pushed the button to launch it. So you would have gotten an update on your phone also. So it was a very good test of the system, and we did get lots of individuals notified in a very short period of time, and had lots of phone calls and questions too, but I think that's good too. It opened up people to that, and I've already started having people call me today to say, hey, I want to get signed up for this Code Red. So unfortunately, a bad thing is hopefully we're going to have some good things out of it too, from having more people sign up.
Sure. And you know, I think that is the thing about something like this. I mean, you know, knowing to lock your doors, be prepared, and if you see something, be able to report it. But if you don't know what's going on, you might see something and not realize that you could help help solve the problem.
That's it. We were able to get quite a number of eyes out there helping us look and stuff. Unfortunately, we didn't find him quickly there, but we were able to get him. They were able to get him today over in Lawrence. So
yeah, it was kind of unusual from the standpoint of he had that big. I understand it was a tattoo on his forehead. We all thought it was a scar, but it was some type of tattoo on his forehead. That's pretty distinctive.
Yeah, it was very distinctive and stuff on there. So it was my understanding it was a scar, and that's where we went with it yesterday. It was
right.
A scar.
Yeah. But today, I think on Channel 4 or something, they were saying it actually was maybe it was a tattoo gone bad.
Right. Yeah. Could have been. Could have been.
But anyways, he is back in custody, and that's a good thing. And, you know, if you are thinking you'd like to know if somebody breaks out of jail, if you'd like to know if there's bad storms coming, if you'd like to know that there's a road closure, bad something that would affect us as a large group, this is where you come in.
Correct. We use this for different things to notify individuals about, and it's sometimes we notify individuals. I know Metro from time to time when they do their tests and stuff, they will let their individuals know that they're coming into the neighborhood, so they're there. Because I know if you ever had it and you come home in the evening, you kind of worry about what's going on. So
right.
That's just to let everybody know what's going on. So it's also used for just general notifications to help out the citizens as well too. So
how do you sign up?
Very easy. You can go to the website, our website, Greenwood County, greenwoodsc.gov, and go to the community page. And there, when you pull that down, you'll see a little tab down there. It says Code Red. Click on that, and they'll walk you straight through the process for logging on or signing up. And you can create your own account also, which allows you later on, if you move or if you want to add or change a phone number, you can go back in and do that. Or you can call my office at 942-8553 and leave a message, and we will get back with you. And when I say we, it's me, myself, and I, but we will get back with you and get you signed up also on that that way. So if you don't have access to a computer, you can always call us at 942-8553.
Or if you're just not comfortable using a computer.
And that's true, too. Yeah, if you're not comfortable, please call us, yeah.
Yep.
And I encourage, you know, if you've got family members that are not comfortable with that, sign them up.
You can sign them up.
You can sign them up. Yeah, they can sign somebody up for me. So I signed my mother and my mother-in-law and them up because they weren't very comfortable with doing it. So I went straight on and did it. So you can do it for yours. It's all based on where you live, and it assigns that number to that location. And if anything's happening in that area and you fall into that area to get called, you will. Same thing with weather. That's the thing I really like about it is you will not get called about weather unless NOAA has said you're in that area that's danger. So something going on in Troy, you're not getting a call in Ware Shoals.
Well, you know, and that's very reassuring for people too, because in the lives that we lead now are so busy, you know, and the weather has become, well, I could say so accurate, because it is pretty accurate mm-hmm. now. And speaking of accurate, what are we looking at for Monday, you know, with this big eclipse coming?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things the National Weather Service has put out a page out there now that is tracking upstate in Greenville-Spartanburg is tracking and lets you know what they're expecting right now. And right now, they're from a weather standpoint, they're looking at about a 50 to 60% coverage of clouds or sky coverage here. So that's about leaving you about 45 to 40% uncovered here right now. Once again, that's 5 days out, so that could change. There's a front.
It does change quite often. I report the weather every morning on the show. It does change,
so
yes.
There is a front that's stalled out here. It's just depending on how fast it moves out of the area is what they're looking at right now. But they're saying the bigger area, the best area in the state right now is going to be the upstate, the most to be able to view it. So it may increase the number of individuals we have. And we're looking at quite a few individuals coming in right now.
Well, right now, we don't have any hotel motel rooms, do we?
Correct. That's it. There's about 692 in the county, and right now all of them are full. So we're looking
camping at grounds are filled.
Oh yeah, camping grounds are filled. So that, if you look at that, that's about 3,000 people right there, just in of itself. So we're not sure. Probably somewhere around 5,000, maybe in there, because you got the people that will drive in after that too. So
sure,
within the area.
So this is exciting to be in the path of it, and yet it's so short, George. I mean, the actual eclipse is so short.
No, the eclipse is 3 hours.
Okay.
The total eclipse is very short.
Okay.
But what you'll look at, the eclipse will start at about 1:10 in the afternoon and will end at 4:04 in the afternoon. But the total eclipse will occur from about 2:38, 2:39 to about 2:41, 2:42, somewhere in there in the afternoon. But that is just a very short period of time. But you'll still experience a lot from that of darkness probably for about a good hour in there, where it won't be totally dark, but it'll be just like early morning or late evening, and going through that process for about an hour.
The twilight zone.
And the temperature is going to drop probably about 10 degrees or so as well during that time frame. So it'll be very interesting. Be cool to be outside to look at it, cool in different ways.
Yeah, you think about the animals though. How do they react to that? I know they're doing a lot of different testing. I know Lander's got different testing that they're going to be doing, and Clemson and everything. But you wonder how, I'm curious how Gracie will react to this. She hates thunderstorms and this type of thing, so I just wonder what she'll think about the darkness in the middle of the day.
Yeah, that's interesting to try to see that. I know how that will do. They say the crickets will come out, birds will go back to nest, things of that nature. So it'll be interesting to to see. It'll be a short nesting time period, and the crickets will stop fairly quickly too, I imagine, when the sun comes back out.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll have any babies 9 months from now.
Nah,
I don't know. Thinking about that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Yep. So these are the things that are going on. And, of course, there's so many events. You were saying that Ware Shoals schools are actually, they're going to bus them over there to their ball field.
Correct. And they're having an event for their students there at the ball field. They're holding them there till 4 o'clock that day, and being able to provide them the opportunity to observe the eclipse as well
from
as.
Beginning to end, yeah.
Pretty close, yeah. I think they're going over about 1:30, so they'll miss a little bit of it, but they'll be able to be there for the full eclipse. So, and then they're going to stay till about 4, and they're keep them. And they've got different events, and the libraries up there, it's got events. All of the libraries across the county have events going on, as well as the state park Star Fort is having a viewing down there as well.
That's right. So. And you said Uptown is going to have about 1,000 people at the market there. And,
correct, yeah.
Then, of course, Lander has got a lot of people coming in there.
Correct. So it's going to be very busy downtown and different locations across the county that day. I imagine traffic will be interesting.
Yes. Now, of course, one of the things that we should mention is you got to be careful with the glasses. There's been a lot of conversation about these eclipse glasses.
Correct. They have one of the things you want to look at is there's a list of those that you can go online, and it tells you the companies that are approved, if you will. I know Amazon.com had sold a few that were not, and they're recalling them and returning the money. So if you go online and Google it, I don't have the list of those companies, but just check and make sure if they do fall in with the glasses that you have, then you're good to go. If not, you need to try to find some other ones or another avenue of looking at it. The old pen in the box with the white piece of paper on it will allow you to see it as well. So,
what are you using, George?
I've got glasses.
I didn't know if you were using the pen in the box.
No, okay. I'm not. We are one of the things we talked about with our my daughter, because she teaches, is one of those things. That's another way to look at it. So it's one of the things we were talking about and showing her online how to do those and stuff. So it's different the ways to look at it, but don't stare at it. That's the thing. You can look at the total eclipse, and it will not bother you. For that 2 minutes and however many seconds, you can look directly at it, but the time in between, before and after that, you don't need to look at it. That's when you need the glasses. So that's the biggest time. So the actual total eclipse time frame, you can look up at it and see the corona as it comes around and everything on it too. So it won't
corona
bother.
I guess that's the beer of
yeah.
choice. Yeah.
Yeah. could be Yeah, on that, but but it is there. But that is a good point. Is safety is a big big issue. You don't need to look up at it at all without having some type of safety glasses on.
And the other thing they're talking about is to be very careful if you're driving.
Correct. The thing you want to do, the concerns that are out there, I know we just had our meeting with the state just before I came over. Some of the concerns are there people will be stopping along the roadways and just stopping to look at it.
Right.
And so they're concerned about driving at that. If you don't have automatic headlights, that's one of the things you got to remember. You're going to have to turn your headlights on because it will get dark real quick. It won't be like a slow darkness that you get in the evening, but it'll be fairly quick on that. So that's interesting too, to be able as you're out there. And it's also a good thing to, when you're out there, to be able to make sure you, if you're walking around, if you're at a place where you're walking around and it does get dark, make sure you're kind of stationary for that little bit of time, maybe 30 minutes or so you can see, especially if you're going to put the glasses on, because you will not be able to see anything but the sun. Yeah, that's all you will be able to see.
Well, we've come a long way on looking at eclipses, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the last full one that we've had through here was, or came across the U.S. like this, was in 1918, actually. So it's been
It wasn't here.
Yeah. Yeah.
GF wasn't either.
Yeah. No, it wasn't.
Yeah, so anyways. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, those are some of the things that you need to be aware of. It is happening Monday. Mm-hmm. I do know the schools here in Greenwood County are holding the kids over like 20 minutes.
Correct, from their normal
schedule departure. And I do know that you did have to sign a release to let the school take your child out to the to the eclipse and everything. Yeah. So if you have not done that, you might want to check and make sure what is happening. If you're getting your child out of school, well, I guess you don't need to worry about that. But that's a biggie. You know, last year, I think you and I were on the air about this time, and then we had the monsoons.
Yeah, it's about that. Last year was Matthew. The year before that was the monsoons.
Okay, 2 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, so that's but yeah, the other thing is on that is this time of the year is rife with lots of moisture coming up out of the Gulf or even out of the Atlantic, depending on if we have hurricanes or something coming this way. So,
and this is hurricane season.
Correct, and the peak is the 10th of September, so that's a peak time for.
Now, how long does it go?
Well, the hurricane season starts in 1 June, and it ends on 30 November is how long it goes. The peak time that most of the hurricanes have occurred is right around that 10 September. It trails off to about early October. That's the highest time frame that we have the majority of our hurricanes that come into the U.S. area and stuff. That's the highest peak of the season.
So it's also a good time not to take a cruise.
Well, that's true.
I mean, you know.
That's true, unless you're going to go up to Alaska or something.
Okay, all right. So those are some of the things that are coming up. I know we're probably going to get into talking about mosquitoes and doing some of the things that you can help prepare for, and just some of the other aspects that are part of being prepared, because, you know, if you have a family or just yourself, you want to make sure that you are protected and prepared. So many times we could avoid so many things if we had just been prepared.
That's it.
That is true. All right. I tell you what, we are going to hear a couple of, let's have a 2-minute break and we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. We're talking more about the eclipse because it's big news, folks. And we were just talking. I was asking, how is it going to affect Charlotte and Atlanta? And you were just saying it's much narrower focus. They'll get some effect.
Yeah, they'll be able to see it. But most of the people that want to see the total eclipse will have to come within about a 70-mile, about a 35-mile area for us of Greenwood County, because it kind of comes across just over on the east side of Lake Greenwood, and that's where the center point is, and about 35 miles either side is where the total eclipse can be viewed. The closer you are to the center, the longer you'll be able to see it, but when we say longer, it's about like a few seconds, so it's not anything significant. But the further you get away from those, that point there, the less you won't see the total eclipse. You'll see a partial eclipse. And I think Atlanta, Charlotte were there. They will probably see a lot of that traffic later Monday and possibly into Tuesday and stuff as people leave.
Now, you were saying how many people are they thinking are going to be coming in, not just to here, but across the state?
What they're looking at is the state has looked at it anywhere from about 1 million to 2 million individuals coming into the state.
And they'll all be driving.
And well, I won't
majority
say all
of them, but
majority of them will. One of the things that we've heard is we've got people coming from outside the country, even. And what we're looking
outside the country.
There's
okay.
An individual I was watching TV. He has been to I think 20 or 30 different countries to see the full eclipse, total eclipse. He's been across. That's kind of his bucket list of things to do whenever right. There's a total eclipse, he travels. So there are some individuals from foreign countries coming in, so they'll probably get cars or rent taxis or Uber or whatever right. as they go do that. But yeah, the majority of it will be cars, and that's the thing we're looking at is on, like I say, Monday morning will probably be a very hectic morning for traffic because we expect lots of the people to come in to Monday morning that are within about 3 to 4 hours out and drive into the state. So it'll be, and I-26, if you look at the clips and how it goes, is pretty much straight up and down to I-26 because it's going through Greenville and exiting, coming in kind of just to the west of Greenville and exiting out at Charleston. So I-26 will be very, very busy.
Absolutely. Well, hey, you know what? We are coming up on the news here, but this is exciting stuff. You probably want to make a plan to already have food on hand. You may not want to try to eat in restaurants on Monday, mm-hmm. although the Inn on the Square, I know, and some other venues are having eclipse parties before and after, so that would be fun. But, I mean, if you're just planning to go out to eat, there's going to be a ton of people in Greenwood, and I'll be interested to see what the economic impact mm-hmm. is on Greenwood for this one-day event, although a lot of people will be coming in for the weekend. Hey, you know what? It's time for South Carolina News. We'll be back.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. I got George McKinney. He was just checking out the weather, looking at what we're looking at for Monday. Hasn't changed yet, huh, George?
No, it's still about the same. we'll look at it again on Friday and see what we're looking at. But ask me on Tuesday, and I can tell you what it was like on Monday.
Oh, isn't he just so charming? Yeah. Right now they are saying there's like a 50%, I guess, chance of some precipitation. But who knows what it's going to be, because when you actually get there, you never know. Looks like the thunderstorms they're talking about might be coming in that night, mm-hmm. but not during the day. But it may have some cloud issues. But be prepared, folks. It's going to be something you'll be able to tell your grandchildren about. Maybe your grandchildren will tell you about it. That's right. So the eclipse is Monday. You know, they have been hyping this thing for so long. Mm-hmm. It almost is like it's an anti-event, isn't yeah. it? You know, thank God the eclipse is finally here. That's right. Yeah. And Greenwood is right in the thick of it. And from that standpoint, I think that's real exciting.
Yeah. And it is a once-in-a-lifetime event that you would see it come across your area. It's a couple of hundred years, a few, centuries or so before it comes back again. So it is something interesting. I can remember in 79 when we had the partial eclipse here. That was pretty interesting when I was in school. But this is something different. And it's something they say most people, if you haven't experienced it, it's very awe-inspiring and stuff for you when you look at it, too.
We need to have an awe moment.
There you go.
But, you know, I think, isn't the next one supposed to be, what, 2030 or 32? But it's going to go 24. That's right. That, and go north and south, right?
Correct. It's coming in over Texas and then going back out over the upper mid-Atlantic northeast area. And that one will be, and like I say, we may be able to see a partial eclipse from that. I'm not sure. I hadn't really looked at that there.
But anyways, so this is exciting for kids, for adults. You know, you need to be part of it, but you need to be safe. And, of course, one of the things that George does like to talk about is being prepared, because you never know when you, you know, every time we have a snowstorm alert here in Greenwood, everybody runs out and buys bread and milk. Hard for me to figure why everybody does, but everybody does. And I guess that's how we get prepared. But that's not really being prepared, is it, George?
Well, no, there's other things that you can do to be prepared, too, for that. Because with those, as an example, snowstorms can bring power outages, too, and even just thunderstorms and stuff. So how do you prepare? What do you have? Do you have your flashlights or other means of lighting that you can use, whether it's a lantern or something of that nature there? How do you cook if you've got electric stoves? You've got to be prepared for that.
How do you keep the milk cold?
Yeah. Well, that's
people buy milk every time.
That's easy in the wintertime. Yeah. It's hard in the summertime. Exactly. So you just put it outside in the wintertime and it'll freeze up for you in that when we have the snow. But yeah, there's some things to look at. Is how do you prepare? If you have to evacuate an area, do you have an evacuation kit or a plan for how to evacuate?
We don't think about that here, do we?
It's not a big thing, but, you know, you could be asked to move out of an area because we have a hazardous material spill or something. So
we've had that in with the trains.
Correct. Before. That's correct. Yep. Yeah. Yep. And you could be asked to move out of the area or something of that nature. It wouldn't be like a hurricane coming in. We'd have a huge, huge, huge number, but you could still have to evacuate that way. Also, you know, do you have a communication plan if you are asked to evacuate perhaps in there? How do you communicate with your kids if they're especially teenagers or something, and they're downtown and you're at home and you have to split up? How do you get back together? Those are some things to talk to your family about and have a family preparedness plan, because it's very important. You never know when it's going to happen. It could strike at any moment, so that's an important thing to do. And making sure that you have extra different things if you're going to do that as well, if you're going to have to evacuate, such as medications, prescription glasses, things of that nature, change of clothes even. So.
Yeah, you don't think about that. But every time you see somebody on TV, whether it's from a huge forest fire, you know, the out-of-control forest fires, and you've seen families have like 5 minutes to get out of your house. Right. Mm-hmm. And you think at that moment, you sit down and you go, wow, what would I do if I had to leave my house in 5 minutes?
Yeah. That's a good point. I mean, that may be a way to think of it then, you know, here in preparing, is what would I take in 5 minutes? What do I need to take?
Right.
And sit down and go through that. And there's things out there like ready.gov that you can go to that will help you prepare those plans, as well as tell you what you need, might need to take with you and stuff too. So it's very important to look at that. You may not evacuate, so how do you prepare, and how well are you prepared for staying at a location at your home or something where there may be a power outage for a week or so like that?
That would be disastrous for me. I can barely stay there a day.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, okay.
Refrigerator, what's in there? No, don't know. But, it's true.
Yeah, I mean.
And when people eating out and the lifestyles that we live today, it's a whole lot different when you used to stay at home and cook meals and be prepared for things at home.
Right, yeah. I mean, everyone should have at least 3 days of food available for them. In my house, we have about 3 weeks, maybe a little bit more. And the way we do it is we just rotate the stuff through, just take it in, put in a bit, mainly dry goods. We don't have, you know, stuff that will spoil, but we just rotate the stuff through as we go through. And that's an important thing to think about and being prepared in that. Not saying that you have to be prepared for 3 weeks, but, you know, if you think back in 2009 when they thought we were going to have another pandemic with the influenza, that could last in an area for 3 to 4 weeks. So are you only going to want to go to the grocery store to buy stuff for that time frame, or would you rather just be able to stay at home and cook and stuff?
Yeah. Well, we talk about staying home, but we don't stay home that much as a society anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that's something probably that's not really put out there enough because we don't even think about it. And I think a lot of our young people, they've never had a situation where they had that. So we are very blessed in this area, but if you ever watch TV and see what's happening in other areas, how about that big, what was it, the chemical spill down there in Texas? It was the, it wasn't a chemical spill where the factory exploded.
Exploded, yeah, West Texas.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, that's something you don't expect. and I mean, it's that was a big event, and being prepared for something like that is very important. If you know, having a knowledge of what you would do in an event like that, thinking through that process and how you would prepare yourself, there's lots of things that go on there that you don't know. How would you communicate with us? You know, and that's some of the things that we look at is when we're preparing, is we have a big catastrophe like that. How do we know who is in that area and what are their needs and stuff? Because in some cases, you may not be able to communicate with them. And so knowing a little bit in advance sometimes helps us out a little bit too.
Well, you know, even if you think about running your car on empty, is not a good thing, folks.
Yeah. I keep a quarter tank, no less than a quarter tank of gas in my car at all times, and then I have some gas at the house that we use also for our lawnmowers and different things, but also to do that. But that's a good point. I mean, that's a good question. Is if we went without power for a week.
How would you pump through your gas?
How would you pump your gas? That's a good question. And so that's one thing to do. And, you know, I'll tell you, some people don't look at it this way, but there's another means of charging your cell phone if that's a means of communication that's still available out there. So you can always plug in. Most people have car chargers such a mobile society now, is that you can charge it out there. You don't have to worry about doing it in the house and stuff. And so having that fuel to be able to either run your car or at least turn it on for a little bit to help charge that.
Yep, that's right. Because nobody could survive if they didn't have their cell phone. How did we ever survive before cell phones, George?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's why Code Red is so important, because it can keep you up to date. And, you know, actually, in an emergency, George, if you have Code Red, you would at least be kind of, what shall I say, kind of pre-notified before a disaster actually happened, if you knew one was coming.
Correct. Yeah, especially if you've got severe weather or weather event or something that's known, you would get that information as quickly as it comes out over the National Weather Services and the Storm Prediction Center makes their predictions out in sunny Oklahoma and stuff.
Sunny Oklahoma, yeah.
And they make that. So it you can get information like that fairly quickly. And there's also other times that we may be able to get information out to individuals as well. If, you know, if there's a dam that is weak or something that we were concerned about, we can always put out information in advance to individuals. But, you know, there's some times that we don't. You know, a hazmat spill, we don't know in advance, and wish we did, but there's things that we don't, but we get that
or
out
sinkholes.
Of
sinkholes. Who never heard of sinkholes happening as much as we have now?
Yeah, that's amazing.
It is. Hey, let's hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. My very special guest today, George McKinney with Emergency Preparedness.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right. We are right back here at the studios of WCRS, 637 Durst Avenue. Also, Sharp Facets is right here with us, and we are making tremendous strides. I am excited. The last few days, I was getting a little depressed on whether we were going to be able to make this happen, but we have made this happen over here, and it's beginning to take shape, so we are looking forward to the future. We've got a lot of great new announcements we're going to be making, but can't tell you right now. But this afternoon, I do have George McKinney with us, and of course, he is our emergency preparedness guy, and he is in charge of making sure that everybody's in the know. One of the ways that he does that is by getting you to sign up for Code Red. Now, how many years have we had Code Red now?
We're going on starting our fourth year we've had it. This 2017, we got it back in 2014. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, however, I still notice that the sirens are still out there.
Correct. We're working.
George told me at the time that the sirens are coming. Were coming down. But,
I just didn't say when.
When you did not. Okay. So, but do you have any idea what's happening?
We're still working with that through the process of getting those taken down. Some of the agencies are looking at using them still possibly. So, we're still working that through that process to see if they want to use them. And if they do, we're going to turn them over and not take them down from that standpoint.
Okay. Well, you know, speaking of agencies and everything, you know, the nonprofits that we have in our community are tremendous help when there's a crisis, when something happens. And, you know, what we were talking about off the air 2 years ago when we had the disaster here, they have really come through for people.
Definitely. They've done a great job. All the nonprofits, I can't name them all,
right,
that are out there, but they've done a great job. They've worked with the community, worked with the individuals. They've stood up. They've actually gone across county lines and worked with other individuals, too. So from the faith-based to the non-faith-based, to everybody has been great working and standing up and coming in and working as a team to help those that have been less fortunate within that storm. And that's a great testament to the county, too, and talks about its resiliency. And that's one of the things that is kind of the core of what emergency management tries to do, is build that resiliency within the community. Because if you're resilient, you can bounce back quicker. It doesn't mean you're not going to take a lick or two and sure, be knocked down, but it gives you that capability to come back a lot quicker. And part of that is just jumping in and helping. And lots of those nonprofits have come together and do that, as well as businesses and stuff have assisted in that, too. So it's a great feeling to be here and being able to work with people like that and know that if we do have an event, that they're available to help us out.
I think what else is great, too, is the coordination between state government and our local areas.
Correct. Yeah. And that is a big thing. We do that quite often. We do exercises there. We have state agencies there. In fact, we're doing one in November that we'll have state there. We'll have businesses there. We'll have nonprofits. And that's where it builds that trust or that knowledge of what can be done and what's available. And that's the biggest thing. It's just being able to find that and knowing where your shortages are and being able to make up that, or knowing where you can go have those solved, help solve.
Sure. So that's all part of it, and I think that's great. Now, how are people doing that were affected by this? Are we all recovered here?
We still have a few that are out there that need them. We got about 6 or 8 homes that we're still working with, and the community's working with them. So we're still in need of some, but we've come a long ways from the 168 that we had initially that were impacted and coming through. But we're still working with it, and we'll probably be working on it for another 6 months to a year, probably trying to get them fully recovered as best we can.
And not only that, I mean, there's been a lot of big sewer lines and water lines and this type of thing to carry off water, I presume, back there behind on Sample Road in that area.
Well, yeah, that is, I'm not sure exactly what that's from, but that is a sewer line that has been put in, and it really coming actually all the way from over at the new motel at Holiday Inn.
Right.
That's where it started.
It's
over
been
that
a huge, yeah, huge thing coming mm-hmm. through.
Yeah.
But
so,
that's sewer.
That's not sewer.
That didn't
correct.
Have anything
yeah.
to do with
mm-hmm.
water. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, anyways, those are some of the things. If you would like to be hooked up and connected and know what's going on in your community, whether it is something like that escaped convict yesterday that wasn't captured until today, whether it is weather-based, whether it's some other emergency, such as CPW is coming through and going to have to do some work, or Metro's going to do some work, these are all things that will keep you connected. It's called Code Red, and you can. How can you get lined up with that, George?
Two simple ways. You can go to our website, which is greenwoodsc.gov, and go to our community tab, mm-hmm. and when you click on there, it'll do a pull down, and you'll see Code Red listed there. Click on that, and you can go in and set up your own account and register yourself. If you can't do that, you can call 942-8553 and leave me a message, and we will get back with you and get you signed up via the phone.
That's right. So either way, and if you want to sign up somebody that isn't good, like a relative, you can go into what is the name of the website?
GreenwoodSC.gov.
GreenwoodSC.gov, and go to the community tab, then look for that. But you can sign somebody else up. Somebody here in the building was signed up by text and by phone because they wanted to make sure that they knew what was going on.
Well, and that is one of the things, too. And just remember, though, if it's out there and if you're in the area, it's based on your address. So
right.
There is some things that you may or may not get. I know I had some calls today from up in the Hodges area and different places saying, hey, I didn't get that message, but somebody called me and told me it came out. And I said, well, you're still on, but we just didn't announce it in that area because it was not within that area that we thought we needed.
It's like if you were going to have tornadoes down in Bradley, you might not get that up here in Greenwood or
Abbeville.
Correct.
That's
right?
Correct. It's only going to work with the areas that are affected. So.
So that's why they do need your address, folks.
Yep. and I'll tell you, it's a great company, too. I've asked to see, hey, who has signed up, and they won't even tell me who signed up. So they won't give your number out, I can guarantee you that. So
you can't blame it on those robocalls
that's
coming
right.
from
that's
Code
it.
Red. Is that
that's
right?
It.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
It.
All right. Well, those are just some of the things. Hey, real quick, mosquitoes. Last year, oh, my God, it was mosquitoes, the Zika virus. Mm-hmm. What's happening this year?
We have still met with that a little bit, but it has not been a big issue this year. I know if you've noticed, we haven't seen anything really in the Florida area or Texas area that was there last year. So it's kind of, I won't say Zika is gone, but it is not as big of an issue now. We are still prepared. We've got a plan put together and a process on how we would do that here in the county. If something did happen from a Zika or any other mosquito-borne virus that may be out there.
How do you keep mosquitoes from multiplying in your, you know, we've talked about this before.
The biggest process, the best way to do that is what they call tip and pour. If you've got a bottle cap that's laying in your yard, a mosquito over a period of, I think it's about a month, can have almost 800,000 baby mosquitoes. So
wow.
That could be produced just through that when you do the math all the way out. So when you look at that, that is something to consider. Tip and pour. Just go out. Anything that has water in it, I do it once a week. Just go out. That's all you need to do it. Once every 5 to 7 days, pour it out. It won't allow the larva to live. That is the best way to get rid of mosquitoes.
If they can live in a bottle cap, they can live in a leaf.
Correct.
A magnolia leaf.
Magnolia leaf is another one. That's a big one. So just make sure there's no water standing in there. And the eggs aren't laid after the rain. It's laid before the rain. So you have to go after the rain and pour it out because that's the best way to get it out. But that's one of the biggest things to do. The other is that you can put out larvicides in areas that are too large, like drains that you may have in your yard or something of that nature. You can put a larvicide in there, and that lasts quite a bit of time, for about a month or so. So, and it will help kill larvae that may grow in there too. But that's the best way. Don't want to try to kill them when they're adults. They're just too slippery.
You end up slapping yourself all the time.
It.
That's right. Well, George, we sure appreciate you coming out today and filling us in. Code Red. Sign up for it. You'll be glad you did. You can go on their website or just give George a call, 942-8553. You'll probably have to leave a message, but he will call you back. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Thanks so much, George.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody. Be back in the morning tomorrow afternoon. My very special guest will be Mike Pitts. Will be in the building. Bye-bye, everybody.